Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
All right, here I am with Jason Kingsley. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So maybe you could fill people in on what roles you're filling currently in regards to events.
Absolutely. So currently my paid gig is I am the program lead for event management at Bow Valley College. So I'm in charge of curriculum as well as I instruct students in the ways of events.
And where did you initially get your experience from?
Initially, I got my experience in the industry. So I started out as a performer. And the easiest way to get gigs was to book yourself. So in high school, we started doing Battle of the Bands and things like that, booking ourselves. Somewhere along the lines, we said, hey, this is something we like doing, something we enjoy doing. So I decided to go back to school, and I did an event management certificate at Mount Royal College, which is now Mount Royal University. My business partner at the time went back and did accounting. The dream was to come back together and start something big. Life went its separate ways, and we both went our separate ways, and that never ended up happening, although we kept in touch. And then from there, I did a degree, a Bachelor of Commerce degree in Entrepreneurial Management, and I'm just doing a Master's of Science in Event Management right now.
Wow, that's awesome. Glad to hear. So it's been a pretty consistent trajectory then for you.
Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth, and I've been in a couple different segments of the industry. So I've worked in nonprofit for some health charities doing fundraising events. I've worked in arts and culture. I've worked in festivals and cultural events. But the thing I always tend to come back to is event management in some way, shape, or form. So I've just kind of been running with it and love it. So
what is one of your most memorable events and why?
Probably the most memorable event is the Calgary Pride Festival. And the reason is I've been involved with the event for probably 15 years in some shape or form, and on the board for the last six now. And I've really been able to watch it grow within our city. So when I joined the board, it was about 4,000 to 5,000 people in attendance. And within the last 6 years, we're now at over 65,000 people.
Oh, wow.
So in terms of memorable, I don't know if I could pick out just one experience because they've all been memorable. But I'd have to say that event and seeing that journey has been the most memorable in my career in general.
So what were some of the hardships that the Pride Festival had to overcome to happen?
Some of the hardships have been more kind of political based. So it's been around the LGBT community in general and getting buy-in and support. The other big challenge, like many nonprofits, has been financial and human capital as well. So we're a board of directors with no paid staff. So finding people that are willing and committed to putting in the time and effort to put on a major festival like that has been challenging at times. And then finding the financial resources to match that growth trajectory that the event has seen.
What are some of the methods for financing an event like that?
A lot of people typically go with granting to support festivals and events like that. Calgary Pride's been a bit unique in that all of our funding has come through sponsorship primarily and then been supplemented by some non-sponsorship revenue streams. So beer gardens, sales, parade entries, vendor booth entries. It isn't until 2016 that we actually first started going for some grants. And we actually just secured our first major grant heading into 2017 through the Calgary Foundation. So we're really excited to start working on those projects.
That's good to hear. What about security considerations, just having so many people? And I know from our experience with you, when you had Rachel Notley come by, there were some considerations there. What do you have to do to make sure that people are safe in that kind of environment?
Yeah, so Pride is unique in that, like I said, we have a lot of political influences. So there's usually some or multiple factors that play into security when we talk about the Pride festivals. And then especially with the state of our global industry right now and global events. So within last year, we had protests in Toronto from some groups that halted the parade. There was the shooting in Orlando, which was really tragic, that took place at an LGBT nightclub. And then just other global events, such as what happened in France, with people driving into parades, into large public gatherings. So some of the conversations we're starting to have locally, and it's not just with Calgary Pride, it's with large parades in Calgary and large outdoor festivals, is we're starting to have more collaborative conversations with other festival event organizers and with other city service departments, such as Calgary Police Services, CEMA, Calgary Emergency Management Agency, so on and so forth, to kind of start to evaluate what the potential risks are going to be at any of these given events and see if we can come up with some best practices. So what we've seen across the industry is people putting physical barriers in place whenever there's large gatherings or large parades now.
Like those giant cement Lego block kind of things?
Yeah, so that, like the Jersey barriers is what they call them. Now, some of the issues with that is there's a large cost to putting in the Jersey barriers, and there's a large demand for resources in terms of human capital to close down streets and to put them in place and then to remove them again. And then also for parade routes where you want to be trying to open up the streets quickly after the parade is completed so that regular traffic flow can resume, it impedes that as well because of the time to remove those blocks.
And possibly for emergency access too, if something happens, you know, somebody gets heat stroke or something, they need to be evacuated from the parade area.
Yeah,
could cause problems.
So what we're seeing happening and what they did in New York at Times Square for New Year's Eve is they're actually bringing in large dump trucks and filling them with sand and using them to create a physical barrier and a deterrent to anybody
just drive away at the end.
Yeah, and then if need be, they could move those barriers if they need to gain access by emergency vehicles.
What are some of the methods that you use to promote the events that you're involved in?
Predominantly with our community and with the younger generation, we're seeing a really big shift to digital media. So there's a large focus on social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. I know Tourism Calgary just recently started up a Snapchat, and I believe the metrics I've heard is 42 or 45%, don't quote me on that, of millennials are on Snapchat. So they're starting to use that as a tool to get their message out. We still employ traditional media as well. So we typically have media partnerships with radio, television, and print. However, we're seeing that start to diminish as the shift moves more towards a social media focus. In addition to that, we're looking at marketing in external markets now beyond Calgary more and more. So we're looking at Toronto, Vancouver, as well as some regional markets, Edmonton, Red Deer, Saskatoon, people within kind of a one day's drive. And with those markets, we're looking at creating native content, working with some media partners and digital publications to have, top five things to do at Calgary Pride, so on and so forth. So they're really good ways to get the word out about your event and to highlight some of the key elements or key activities that are taking place within your festival. So Pride's 10 days and about 35 events. So we can really highlight some of those third-party events and some of our partners and all the effort that they're putting in into ensuring that our festival is a huge success every year.
Wow. And so are you drawing ideas from other festivals? Like, have you attended, Edmonton, Toronto, see what's happening out there?
Yeah, absolutely. So we always pay attention to what takes place across Canada nationally, as well as we try and pay attention to what's taking place internationally as well. So across Canada, within Pride events specifically, there's something called Fierté Pride. And every year they have a conference, an annual conference for all of the Pride organizations across Canada. So that's actually taking place in a couple weeks in February, and I'll be speaking at that event or presenting as one of the guest speakers. And then I'll also share that Calgary, myself and our team, we're putting in a bid to host the conference in Calgary for 2018.
Nice. That's awesome. I know that you're bringing in entertainment for a variety of events as well. What are some of the challenges associated with managing talent?
Well, right off the top, I know there was lots of conversation last year with the economy about bringing in international talent and the impact of the dollar and bringing in, predominantly U.S. talent and things like that. And so we looked at bringing in more local talent for 2017, with it being the Canada 150 sesquicentennial celebration. We're again going to have even more of a focus on Canadian talent as opposed to bringing in international. So there's a financial component in terms of negotiating cost and price with what's taking place currently in the economy. In addition to that, there's managing artist expectations. Depending on time of year, depending on weather, there's always client expectations in terms of the reception that they're going to receive. I worked on an event over the holidays, and it was snowing, so heaters on stage and things like that that aren't necessarily in a typical technical rider. But things
is that the New Year's event by chance?
Yeah, so that was the New Year's event with the City of Calgary. So, you know, those kinds of requirements aren't always necessarily in a technical rider. But it's about managing those artist expectations and making sure that they're having a positive experience and that they're in a positive frame of mind so that they translate that to the audience.
For someone that's planning their first event, what is one piece of advice that you would give?
Do your homework and do your research. I've worked with the city with quite a few event organizers as the liaison on the city side, helping facilitate the process of going through the permits that are required and providing advice and consultation. And there's a lot of information that's out there that's available. The city has guides. You can look up bylaws. It's really important that you do your homework and that you do your research when you're going in there. These city services, especially on the large outdoor festival scale, they're there as a support and as an assistance. But they're not consultants. So they really appreciate it when you've done your homework and you understand the material that you're going in to speak about.
Yeah, it seems to me like that people might take something on that's a little bit beyond the scope for their first event, where they're trying to do too much and make it all happen, you know, to such a scale that it's a detriment to the event itself. Would you suggest maybe that people try limiting the scope for the first try?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you're new to event planning, you know, it's good to think big. It's good to dream big. And even if you have the budget, it's not necessarily good to go big on your first event. So that's fantastic advice for sure. There's one event that I was recently, I was chatting with the event organizer, and they wanted to do a large scale multi-day event, but were brand new. It was their first time doing the event. It's a new event to Calgary. There's no idea what the reception was going to be like. And partway through the planning process, they pulled the plug because they said, whoa, I need way more time to plan this, because they didn't necessarily realize all the moving pieces that are involved in an event and all of the components that they needed in order to get the appropriate permits and the timelines that the city requires for a lot of these permits.
What is the timeline for an outdoor festival?
It depends on the size and the scope of the event, but, you know, building permits, typically they want them 30 to 90 days before the event. Road closures, they want 90 days before the event. So you're talking usually 3 to 6 months lead time minimum to begin the process with the city. For Calgary Pride, our applications are in. We're starting the conversation now in January for an event in September. And so kind of some of the learning this individual I was speaking about just previous, after they pulled the plug, we had a conversation, and they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take more time to plan it, but now that we have more time, we're going to actually make it even bigger. And instead of doing one event, because we already have the space and the infrastructure, we're going to do one event, and then we're going to use the same setup, and we're going to do another event, and then we're going to use the same setup, and we're going to do another event, and they're going to piggyback their events because they figured, well, I'm paying all this money to set up these tents and these fences. But then you get into other, you know, other challenges.
So what about a disastrous moment, and how could it have been prevented?
One of the biggest disastrous moments we've had in recent years was weather related. You know, for 5 years straight, we had glorious blue skies, not a speck of bad weather. And then 2 years ago, we decided to partner with another festival producer. They wanted access to our festival grounds, and they wanted to do a festival on the Friday, piggyback the infrastructure and do one on the Saturday for a different target audience. So they did an EDM festival on Friday, a hip-hop festival on Saturday, and then we were all going to share infrastructure and resources, and we were going to do our festival, the Pride Parade, and Party in the Park on the Sunday. And on paper, it was fantastic. You know, we brought in one set of fencing, tenting, and we shared everything, and it basically just loaded in and out vendors and artists and things like that. What ended up happening was, for the first time in many years, years is it rained and snowed for many days straight prior to our event. You know, and I have pictures of the site, and it's just, it's destroyed. It's a disaster. So I was on site on Saturday night till the wee hours of the morning assessing, and then back again at, you know, 5 or 6 a.m. with very little sleep to begin load in of our infrastructure and our vendors. And again, with those city business units and city services, we had to make a call as to whether we were going to proceed with the event or cancel. And we decided to proceed with the event. And so what ensued was we brought in plywood to lay down over the turf because the turf was completely gone. And then we actually trucked in dump truck loads of mulch to soak up the mud in the water.
If you were stuck on a desert island and you could only have one meal every single day for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I like to pretend I'm a foodie, so that's a really hard question. And what I answer today would probably be completely different than what I answer tomorrow. If I'm on a desert island, I have to say fresh seafood. give me some good fish every day. If I'm being realistic, I'd say avocados, because you could live off them if you had to. There's enough
just
nutrients.
Avocado?
Sure, just avocado. I got told once that there's enough vitamins and minerals that you could survive off
really?
Them if all you ate was avocados.
And what would happen on the other end? I'm not sure.
I'm a big fan of seafood, not necessarily shellfish, but I love fish, salmon and prosciutto wrapped something. And
perfect. Well, thank you very much for taking the time, and hopefully I'll see you at Pride this
Absolutely.
Coming year.
Right yes, on. Thank you very much for having me. It's
Thanks.
An honor to be here today.
Take care.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Andrew Spencer and Chris Benoit. Please join us in 1 month for the next event planning podcast. You can also visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.